إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفرأيت الذي كفر بآياتنا وقال لأوتين مالا وولدا، أطلع الغيب أم اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا؟ كلا سنكتب ما يقول ونمد له من العذاب مدا، ونرثه ما يقول ويأتينا فردا. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر: والذين يبتغون الكتاب مما ملكت أيمانكم فكاتبوهم إن علمتم فيهم خيرا، وآتوهم مما لله الذي آتاكم، ولا تكرهوا فتياتكم على البغاء إن أردنا تحصنا لتبتغوا عرض الحياة الدنيا، ومن يكرهن فإن الله من بعد إكراههن غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: ثلاثة حق على الله عونهم: المكاتب الذي يريد الأداء، والناكح الذي يريد العفاف، والمجاهد في سبيل الله. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: من مات وهو بريء من الكبر والغلول والدين دخل الجنة. وعن أبي سعيد رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: أعوذ بالله من الكفر والدين. فقال رجل: يا رسول الله، أتعدل الكفر بالدين؟ قال: نعم. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أخذ أموال الناس يريد أداءها أدى الله عنه، ومن أخذ يريد إتلافها أتلفه الله عليه. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله المولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable Ulama Ikram, respected brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, it is indeed tragic and unfortunate that you and I have to digress from issues that are making headlines on the international front in the Muslim world and discuss issues that were supposed to have been understood by every Muslim. Perhaps our situation could then be likened to that student who is in secondary school and has to write his final examination and has to be taught primary work. Everyone would understand and agree the time and the situation and the venue doesn't warrant teaching primary work. The hour is so critical, the year is the final exams, and primary work has to be taught. The phase through which the Muslim Ummah has been going through at this moment, as the Palestinian cry continues, perhaps the sound of takbir, if not martyrdom, been echoed by Muslims globally. But the topic that you and I have at hand tonight, wallah, is so critical, is so vital, that even if we decide to don our armor and we decide to present our life, which is the most supreme sacrifice any human can make in the court of Allah, the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated in Sharh al-Sunnah, where Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Jahash radiyallahu anhu says: Kunna julusan bifina'i al-masjid. We were sitting in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حيث يوضعُ الجنائز, where the janazas were brought and performed. Wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jalisun bayna dhahrayna. And Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present amongst us. Suddenly Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam looks towards the sky. Fanadara, he glances. Thumma ta'ta'a ra'sahu. Then he drops his head down. Wa wada'a yadahu ala jabahatihi. And he takes his blessed hand and places it on his Mubarak forehead. And he says, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Mada unzila min at-tashdeed, Allahu Akbar. What severe injunctions coming down from Allah this moment? What severe rulings coming down from Allah this very second? Hazrat Muhammad radiallahu anhu says, فَسَكَتْنَا يَوْمَنَا وَلَيْلَتَنَا فَلَمْ نَرَ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. We observe silence, we seen nothing, we heard nothing, that entire day and the next day. After one day had passed, and we observed nothing unusual, I took the courage, and I asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَتْ تَشْدِيد الَّذِي نَزَلْ. O Nabi of Allah, yesterday you were referring to some severe injunctions being revealed by Allah. Could you perhaps elaborate? We saw nothing, we heard nothing, we observed nothing. What was then the severe injunctions that Allah revealed? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fiddain. O Muhammad, it is regarding the settling of debts and the payment of debts that my Allah has revealed some very, very delicate and severe rulings. My next question was, O Nabi of Allah, what has Allah said regarding debts? Nabi alayhi salam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ عَاشَ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ عَاشَ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ عَاشَ وَعَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ مَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى يُقْضَى دَيْنُهُ. I swear by the grandeur of that Allah who is in charge of my life and is in control of my life. If a man stands up in the battlefield, advancing towards the enemy, until he enjoys the rank of martyrdom, again Allah revives him, again he spends his life and is granted martyrdom. Again Allah revives him, again he presents his life and Allah gives him martyrdom. Allah's qasam, then too he will not enter Jannah until his heirs do not settle his debts. Either his heirs settle it in this world, or he settles it in the form of the currency of akhirat, which is amal, which is the next hadith to follow. The hadith is in Muslim Sharif. The narrator of the hadith is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. When Nabi alayhi salam asked his sahaba, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. O my sahaba, do you know who is a pauper? Do you know who is a poor person? قَالُوا الْمُفْلِسُ فِينَا مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمَ لَهُ وَلَا مَتَى. O Nabi of Allah, we would classify that man as a pauper who has no wealth or property. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِصَلَاةٍ وَصِيَامٍ وَزَكَاةٍ وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا. Verily a pauper from my ummah is that man who will come before Allah with 20 years of salah, 20 years of zakat, 20 years of piety. But at the same time, he had usurped the rights of someone. He had insulted someone. He had not settled the debt of someone. These creditors will line up before Allah. They will tell Allah, oh Allah, this man had not, he owed me so much money, he did not pay. Oh Allah, he insulted me. Oh Allah, he deprived me of my inheritance. Allah Ta'ala will then tell this person that now you people start enjoying his good deeds. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a time will come, the man's good deeds will be exhausted, yet people will be demanding. Allah will say, the only way out is now you take your sins and put it on him and then throw him headlong in Jahannam. Brothers, for us to understand in this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who enjoys martyrdom, understand, if we analyze this hadith, there are subtle implications in this hadith that makes you and I understand, which unfortunately is the tragedy of our times, that many people have camouflaged the situation, have disguised themselves, are deceiving themselves because they are linked with biased personalities, are running Islamic organizations. They will be exempted and the matter will be solved before Allah. The issue is so critical, I will explain. Wallah, the Nabi of Allah refused to perform the janazah of that sahabi of his who died not settling his debts. Perhaps there cannot be a greater sacrifice that any human can offer to his Allah other than martyrdom. One sahabi comes and he says, O Nabi of Allah, if I advance in the battle and I kill the enemy,
And then the arrow hits me on my chest and I am martyred. Well, Allah pardon my sins. Nabi alayhi salam said, without a shadow of doubt, يُغْفَرُ لِشَهِيدْ كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ. Allah will pardon all your sins. He takes two steps. Nabi alayhi salam says, come back. Just repeat your question. What was the question again? He says, if I fight in the path of Allah and I am martyred, will Allah pardon all my sins? Nabi alayhi salam says, yes, Allah will pardon all your sins with the exception of your debts. Jibreel came and made that exception now. Allah will not pardon your debts. There cannot be a greater sacrifice that any human can offer in the court of Allah than martyrdom. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salam says, لَمَّا أُصِيبَ إِخْوَانُكُمْ بِأُحُدٍ. When your brothers were martyred in the battle of Uhud, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ أَرْوَاحَهُمْ فِي أَجْوَافِ طَيْرٍ خُذْرٍ. Allah placed their souls in the form of birds. تَرِدُ أَنْهَارَ الْجَنَّةِ تَأْكُلْ مِنْ ثِمَارِهَا تَأْوِي إِلَىٰ قَنَادِيلْ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ فِي ذِلِّ الْعَرْشِ. They enjoyed all the comforts of Jannat. Allah rewarded them and compensated them in such a way that these souls asked Allah, oh Allah, can we inform our brothers in this world about the reward of martyrdom so that they can also exert themselves and enjoy and sacrifice their lives so they can also enjoy martyrdom. Allah said, you don't have to convey the message. I will convey the message in the form of Quran via Jibreel on the tongue of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah revealed the verses, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Do not even refer to the martyr as deceased. It is our belief that the martyr and the prophet is alive in his grave. Of course, the level of hayat in a prophet is much greater compared to that of the level of life in a martyr. The point I'm stressing here is, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about martyrdom in one hadith, and the virtue of a martyr, that Nabi alayhi salam says, when a martyr will stand up, we know number one, a martyr is buried with the clothes in which he dies. لَوْنُهُ لَوْنُ دَمٍ وَرِيحُهُ رِيحُ مِسْكٍ. Nabi alayhi salam says, the color will be of blood, but the smell will be of musk. When this martyr will stand up on the day of Qiyamah, one side this man has such a great credit to him that is martyrdom. Indeed, the crime of not settling debts must be severe and grave for such a supreme sacrifice not to pardon it. Allah will pardon all his other shortcomings. Allah will pardon all his wrong between him and Allah. But with regards to debts, Allah will not pardon it. In fact, the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith that I quoted before you, it's in Nasai Sharif. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufr wa dayni. It is unfortunate that you and I do not study the duas of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we study, then we will understand what we must ask Allah and what should we ask Allah protection from. In this particular hadith, the Nabi of Allah asks Allah protection against two things. O Allah, I ask thy divine protection against kufr, disbelief. And O Allah, together with that, I ask thy divine protection against debts. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَتَعْدِلُ الْكُفْرَ بِالدَّيْنِ. One sahabi was sitting nearby. He said, O Nabi of Allah, if you don't mind, I want to ask a question. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, by all means ask. Something very strange. You have coupled kufr with debts in one dua. Is it then, do you equate debts with disbelief, O Nabi of Allah? Look at the question he's asking. What is the dua Nabi alayhi salam has made? Just as the Quran says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That way Allah says, it is the decree of your Lord that none be worshipped other than Allah. And immediately after that, in the same breath, in the same ayat, in the same chapter, in the same surah, Allah says, after speaking about His oneness beyond which there is no greater command, that same Allah commands you kindness to parents. From that, the commentators deduce the significance of kindness to parents, that Allah has coupled it with the injunction of the oneness of Allah, which is the most important aspect. Another example of that in Surah Hajj, Allah says, فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. Allah says, abstain from idol worship and abstain from speaking a lie. Allah is speaking of the worst crime, that is idol worship. Allah couples it with speaking of a lie. From that we deduce how evil is the speaking of a lie, that Allah joins its prohibition with worship of idols. In this hadith, Nabi alayhi salam says, O my Allah, I seek thy protection from kufr, from disbelief. And O my Allah, I seek thy protection from overwhelming debts. أَتَعْدِلُ الْكُفْرَ بِالدَّيْنِ O Nabi of Allah, do you equate debts with kufr? Nabi alayhi salam's answer was, قَالَ نَعَمْ Yes, O my sahabi, I do equate debts with kufr. The commentators speaking on this, what is the reason, or what is the link that the Nabi of Allah equates debts with kufr? The Shari'in hadith write that when a person has overwhelming debts, when a person has overwhelming debts and he cannot pay, or perhaps in our time, which I will speak on, he doesn't want to pay, which makes the crime much more intense and much more serious. He doesn't pay or he doesn't want to pay. Then he starts conducting himself, or he starts reflecting the qualities and the attributes of a kafir and a munafiq. He starts speaking lies, he deceives, he deceits, he cheats, he gets involved in fraudulent deals, he fabricates. Every day is a different lie. Because of not settling his debts, he opens up a can of worms, a host of different guna. In the hadith we have been taught that it is unlawful, it is forbidden, it is prohibited to do any such wrong which will provoke people to curse you. By way of example, it is makruh at-tahrimi to urinate beneath a shady tree, where someone would come and have his lunch meal, he would come and take shelter under the shady tree and eat. It is makruh at-tahrimi, which is close to haram, to come and relieve yourself there. Naturally, when this person will come to eat and have his meal, whoever is going to urinate there, in his human emotion, is going to be provoked by the action of that man to curse that person. Nabi alayhi salam says, do not become the cause and the means of people cursing you. Brothers, when a man doesn't pay, we have seen situations, wallah, it doesn't provoke people to curse, it provokes people to kill. I know of incidents where people came to me myself, Mana, this man is not paying. And when you ask him for the money, I don't ruin the friendship, you ruin in my family. This man doesn't want to pay. Every day is a new story. And brothers, if I may elaborate, wallah, at times I wonder, is it the lack of morality or is it the absence of morality that a man is owing money? He has no values, no morals, no shame, no guilt. He will come and greet his creditor boldly, loudly, clearly, with a smiling face. He feels nothing. There's no hurt, there's no pinch. And he arrogantly says, you can dream about your money. In the light of Quran and Hadith, I say the statement, fearing Allah. If he tells you, you can dream about your money, brother, my message to you, or rather the message of Nabi alayhi salam to you is, you can dream of Jannat. Wallah, you can dream of Jannat. Your Hajj, your Umrah, your association and affiliation with Islamic organizations will not pardon you of your crime. Allah forgive. The hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salam says, Layyul wajid يُحِلُّ عِرْضَهُ وَعُقُوبَتَهُ That man who has the wealth and does not settle his debts, this action is so disliked by Allah that because of this action, his honor is now no longer sacred. The commentators explain in this aspect of the hadith is in Abu Dawud. Nabi alayhi salam says that his honor and his respect and his dignity is no longer sacred, which was the parting advice of Nabi alayhi salam in his farewell sermon on Hajjatul Wada. That means you can embarrass him, you can disgrace him, you can expose him, How sad you go to garages and you find Muslim names with Muslim identity, that such and such person, when he comes, don't give him petrol. وَعُقُوبَتَهُ Not only embarrassing and exposing him. I mean, the issue of Hajj and agents is a different issue altogether. One cent that has not been paid for. How can a man enjoy the wealth which has been tainted with the blood, with the sweat and the tears of others? How? Perhaps there's the lack, there's no haya in that person. وَعُقُوبَتَهُ Nabi alayhi salam says, not only to expose him and embarrass him and disgrace him and dishonor him is it permissible, but in an Islamic country such a person would be put in prison. صاحب الدين معسور بدينه يشكو إلى ربه الوحدة Nabi alayhi salam says, Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. That person who dies without settling his debts, he will be isolated in Jahannam. That he will cry to Allah, oh Allah, I am suffering like others. But why have you put me lonely? And why have you isolated me from everyone else? So a person that is not settling the debts, he's not provoking people to curse only, much more than cursing. مَتْلُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْمٌ Nabi alayhi salam says that man who has the wealth and does not settle his debts, such a man is guilty of oppression. He is a zalim in the eyes of Allah. The dua of a zalim will never be accepted. Sa'd ibn Atwal radiallahu anhu, the riwayat is in Musnad Ahmad. And something else to discuss here is unfortunately one is a man has debts and one is the reason because of which he has debts. Why has he got so many debts and overwhelming debts on him? What is the reason that he has incurred so many debts? Sahaba also had debts and even the Nabi of Allah had borrowed money. But there were different reasons. And perhaps we can speak to our sisters and our mothers in this regard. The hadith is in Tibrani. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يَكُونُ هَلَاكُ الرَّجُلْ عَلَى يَدِ زَوْجَتِهِ وَأَبَوَيْهِ وَوَلَدِهِ يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ وَيُكَلِّفُونَهُ مَا لَا يُطِيقُ فَيَدْخُلُ مَدَاخِلَ الَّتِي يَذْهَبُ فِيهَا دِينُهُ Allahu Akbar. Brothers, Nabi alayhi salam, 1400 years ago, prophesied and spelt it out as it is happening before us. Just but another miracle of the truth of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salam says, a time is to dawn upon this ummah. A time is to come upon my ummah where a man will lose his iman. Number one, because of his wife. Number two, because of his children. Number three, because of his parents. The most beloved will be instrumental in the destruction of this man. How will this happen, O Nabi of Allah? يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ وَيُكَلِّفُونَهُ مَا لَا يُتِيقُ Nabi alayhi salam says, wife and children will daily taunt the husband and the father and criticize him and embarrass him that you don't earn anything, you don't provide anything. Look at our furniture, the words of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam says, daily this man will become a victim of the criticism of his wife and his children. A time will come when the criticism will become unbearable. In the name of the profound love that he has for his wife and children, he will start borrowing money. He will start getting involved in such type of dealings. In the process, his iman will depart from him, his wife and that whole family. ثَلَاثَةٌ حَقٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَوْنُهُمْ So many young people are sitting here. Many of our youngsters, unfortunately today, before starting their nikah, they are borrowing money. The Nabi of Allah performed every nikah of his so simple that no ummati must ever delay his marriage on the grounds of the lack of funds. And as long as you intend getting married to protect your chastity in the hadith I quoted, Allah's help is with you. But now to earn and to borrow money to decorate a hall, just so that society can understand we also had a function, Allah's help is not with that couple. ثَلَاثَةٌ حَقٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَوْنُهُمْ. Three people Allah guarantees to aid and assist them. المكاتب الذي يريد الأداء. Mukatib is that master who tells his slave, who can be likened to a debtor. A master tells his slave that if you go and earn and you can pay me 10,000, then 10,000 will earn your freedom. Earn me an X amount of money and give it to me. Pending on that payment, you will be set free. That person who borrows money, Nabi alayhi salam says, Man akhadha amwal an-nas. He who borrows money with the intention that I want to pay this man back, and Allah knows he wants to pay, Allah takes on the responsibility of aiding him and helping him to pay his creditor. وَمَنْ أَخَذَ يُرِيدُ إِتْلَافَهَا. And he who takes the money knowing at the very same time that he's borrowing the money, he will not pay. And many a times he takes an oath. He takes an oath at that time. There's an ayat in the Quran where Allah says, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ فَتَزِلَّ قَدَمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا. Where Allah speaks about the harm of taking a false promise. You borrow money from a man and you promise that you will pay him back on a certain time. And at that very same time, you know you will not keep up to your word. The only reason of promising is to convince him so that he gives you the money. The consequences of this form of deceit is so severe. One is at the time when you borrowed, you intended to repay, but later you changed your mind. This is also severe, but this is more intense. Where at the very time when you were dealing and you took the money and you borrowed the money or you purchased the item and you promised to pay, at that very moment in your heart and your mind you knew you were not going to pay. The Quran says, فَتَزِلَّ قَدَمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا وَتَذُوقُ السُّوءَ بِمَا صَدَدْتُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Such a person must fear that the chances are he will be deprived of iman before leaving this world. فَتَزِلَّ قَدَم means his leg will slip after its firmness. Mufti Shabir Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes on the strength of Tafsir Qurtubi that iman ke salb hone ka khatra, the fear that you will be deprived of iman. One jamaat went to one brother's shop, and while they were waiting there, a customer came in to purchase something. So the item was marked 395 and the person gave 4 rand. The man put the 4 rand in the till and he's telling him, alright, okay, you can carry on. So one of the brothers in the jamaat cautioned the shopkeeper and he says, by that 5 cent is not yours, you have to pay the man. On the day of Qiyamah you will be answerable for this and Allah will take you to task. He says, well, Allah will worry about my 5 cent, people are taking containers, Allah will be busy with them. Yeah, people pulling containers, Allah will be with you. Well, Allah is going to worry about my 5 cents. One person died martyred in the battle. Sahaba said he's in Jannat. Nabi alayhi salam said he's in Jahannam. Sahaba asked why. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he was guilty of taking something from the spoils of the war which wasn't allotted to him. Fi burdatin ghallaha. Man mata wa huwa bari'un min al-kibri wal-ghululi wal-dayni dakhala al-jannah. He who dies free of 3 things will go to Jannah. Now listen to this hadith. He who dies free of deceit and pride and debts, free of 3 things, Nabi alayhi salam says direct to Jannat. For a moment, brothers, let us reflect. Allah forgive, we are dying guilty of all 3. The hadith is narrated by Hazrat Thawban by Imam Tirmizi. Thawban radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. Imam Tirmizi records this hadith. What did the Nabi of Allah say? Man mata wa huwa bari'un min al-kibri wal-ghululi wal-dayni dakhala al-jannah. He who dies free of pride, of deceiving and of debts, he will go to Jannah. Allah forgive, we are dying deceiving people, we are dying with debts on our shoulders, we are dying proudly and arrogantly, we are then dreaming for Jannat, brothers. Man akhadha amwal an-nasi yuridu ada'aha adda Allahu anhu. He who takes the wealth of someone with the intention of paying it back, Allah will aid him, Allah will assist him. In fact, there is a riwayat written in kitab that one person borrowed money from someone. I was speaking about this hadith, we'll come back to this. That when a person is getting married, because this is also one of the reasons that unfortunately today, people are taking so many loans and debts, incurring so many costs upon them, for un-Islamic reasons, taking the curse of so many people. The Nabi of Allah, as I mentioned, in fact, there is one riwayat where Nabi alayhi salam was sitting and one woman came and she said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I present myself to you." Nabi alayhi salam looked at her and he was not interested. Another sahabi was sitting there, said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, it looks like you're not interested. If that is true, then definitely I am interested." So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Okay, I will get you married. What do you have?" He says, "I have nothing." And I'm stressing this because unfortunately, and another thing that we can add here, instead of having elaborate functions and borrowing money, the money that we want to invest in that festival, in that wedding, in that engagement is totally un-Islamic. Let us gather that money and give it to our daughter and our son-in-law to start their life. Who knows what that they will furnish the house if not buy of a house. Nabi alayhi salam tells that sahabi, "Go and look for something and come." He says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I have nothing." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Okay, walau khataman min hadid." You must be having some ring, at least you can give dowry. There's nothing for dowry. Nabi alayhi salam does not suggest to him for a moment, "Go take a loan." He doesn't have money for dowry. Today the man doesn't have money to pay the cook, and because of that nikah has been delayed. Nabi alayhi salam tells him, "Go and look." He comes back, he says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I have nothing. The only thing I have is my trouser. I can give it to her as dowry." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in Bukhari the riwayat comes, "If you give it to her, what will you wear?" "But oh Nabi of Allah, I want to get married." Nabi alayhi salam says, "Okay, tell me, how many surahs have you memorized of the Quran?" He says, I know this surah bahad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Go, idhab faqad mallaktukaha bima ma'aka min al-Quran." Whatever surahs you have memorized, teach it to your wife. This dowry is exclusive for you. Teaching your wife these surahs, this is your dowry. Go, I have performed your nikah. So indeed, we have such examples when nikah was performed where there was no finance. It does not justify for a moment to take a loan. ثَلَاثَةٌ حَقٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَوْنُهُمْ الْمُكَاتَبُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْأَدَىٰ. That debtor who wants to pay his money, he is under the care of Allah, under the aid of Allah. النَّاكِحُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْعَفَافِ. That person who intends getting married to protect and safeguard his chastity. وَالْمُجَاهِدُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And that person who is striving in the path of Allah. Brothers, really in the time of Sahaba, the level of the awareness of Allah was such that today a man can see himself going down. All he does is picks up his phone. Allah forgives phones, those lawyers, some of them who specialize in this field. His properties, his belongings are instantly moved to unknown locations. Properties are transferred on different names. And all he has to stand up, scot-free liquidation. Let him know in the court of Allah, he will have to pay for every cent, for every sigh, for every pain, for every time he made that man turn and toss and run and cry. On the cry of that man, on the pain of that man, he will be dropped deeper and deeper in Jahannam. Sa'd ibn Atwal radiallahu anhu says, "Mata akhi. My brother passed away. وَتَرَكَ ثَلَاثَمِئَةَ دِينَارِ. 300 دِينَار. He left behind 300 dinars. وَتَرَكَ وُلْدًا صِغَار. And he left behind young children, orphans. وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا." So many are guilty of usurping the rights of orphans. Those that eat the rights of orphans, the Quran says, you are filling your belly with Jahannam. The choice is yours, how much you want to fill. O Nabi of Allah, my brother died. He left behind 300 dinars and he left behind small children. فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أُنْفِقَ عَلَيْهِمْ. I'm really pitying my nephews. I thought perhaps if I can take this 300 dinars and spend it on the well-being and the upkeep and the maintenance of my nephews. How would you view this action of mine, O Nabi of Allah? Nabi alayhi salam said, إِنَّ أَخَاكَ مَحْبُوسٌ بِدَيْنِهِ فَقْضِ عَنْهُ الدَّيْنِ. O Saad, indeed I also sympathize with you on the loss of your brother. And I also, maintenance of my nephews. How would you view this action of mine, O Nabi of Allah? Nabi alayhi salam said, "Inna akhaka mahbusun bidaynihi faqdi anhu ad-dayn." Oh Saad, indeed I also sympathize with you on the loss of your brother. And I also agree that it would be wonderful and it would be superb to take care of your brother's children, your nephews. However, I would like to tell you, your brother is trapped in akhirat until his debts are not settled. Your brother is trapped. In fact, one hadith says, "Nafsul mu'mini mu'allaqatun bidaynihi." It's hanging, it's pending. No decision will be made until the last cent not paid. So my advice to you is, go and settle the debts of your brother. This riwayat comes in Musnad Ahmad. Sa'd ibn Atwal says, فَذَهَبْتُ فَقَضَيْتُ عَنْهُ. I went, I settled all the debts, ثُمَّ جِئْتُ. I came back to Nabi alayhi salam. I said, "Ya Rasulullah, قَدْ قَضَيْتُ. I have settled all the debts of my brother. وَلَمْ تَبْقِ إِلَّا امْرَأَةٌ تَدَّعِي دِينَارَيْنِ. But there's one woman here at the door. She's claiming that my brother owed her 2 dinars. وَلَيْسَتْ لَهَا بَيِّنَا. And she has no documents, no proof. She cannot substantiate this claim. I have settled all the other debts. This one woman is outstanding. And she says my brother owes her two dinars, but no proof. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, أَعْطِهَا فَإِنَّهَا صَادِقَةً. Oh Saad, give her the 2 dinars. I'm telling you, she's speaking the truth. The commentators write 3 possibilities of Nabi alayhi salam confirming the request of this woman without inquiring. لَعَلَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلِيمَ ذَلِكَ بِالْوَحِي. Either via revelation he was informed that this woman was speaking the truth despite not having documents. Your late brother owed her 2 dinars. First possibility. Second, أَوْ كَانَ مَعْلُومًا. Or perhaps this transaction when it took place where your brother was owing her 2 dinars took place in the presence of Nabi alayhi salam, so he observed it, he was well acquainted with it. However, the vast majority of the scholars give priority to the third option. لَعَلَّ قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَلِكَ كَانَ إِحْطِيَاتًا. It's more than likely that the advice of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came as a precautionary measure. That who knows Saad, perhaps she's speaking the truth or not. If she is speaking the truth, then the jannat of your brother is pending on 2 dinars. If she's speaking a lie, she is taking jahannam. Be kind enough and give the 2 dinars. Otherwise, la yadkhulu al-jannah wa la yasilu ila zumrati as-salihin. That soul will be distant from jannat and will be distant from the souls of the pious people. So give the 2 dinars. She is speaking the truth. In the time of Sahaba, when there was fear in this ummah of Allah Ta'ala, read under the commentary of this ayat, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ حَرَجٌ. In Bukhari Sharif, second volume, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu narrates that in the time of Nabi alayhi salam, we could deal with any person. If that man was a Muslim, his iman would never allow him to deceive. And if he was a non-Muslim, the environment was so clear that he would become a victim of the criticism of everyone. If he was a kafir, the environment would compel him to come onto honesty. And if he was a believer, his iman would drive him to come onto honesty. Under the commentary of this ayat, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ حَرَجٌ. Allah speaks about how particular Sahaba were when they borrowed from someone or they took the rights of someone. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, when this ayat was revealed, this was when there was taqwa in the ummah. With the absence of taqwa, a man can take someone for millions. But brothers, wallah, that man who is enjoying the wealth tainted by the blood and the tears of others, don't be deceived by his smile. Inside, there's such pain, there's such restlessness, there's such worries that are haunting him daily. Perhaps I'll be attacked, perhaps I'll be robbed. He's having hot flashes of fear of akhirat. In this world, uneasiness has started. Easy comes, easy goes. As that money comes in the same way, that money will never bring prosperity. That money will go from doctors to lawyers to court cases and problems. Behind that wealth is the pain and the sweat of others. How can that wealth bring prosperity in his house? One of the greatest akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salam was to pay the man before his sweat dries. And perhaps I may ask and implore mothers and sisters at this juncture. Unfortunately, this is very common amongst women. If someone comes to do some work, some domestic work, a man wants to clean your garden. Now he's making 20 rand. Unfortunately, many of us have the nature, whatever he asks for, we cut him down. Let the man leave happily, give him his money. Wallah, through his happiness, Allah will give you barakat and prosperity. But let the man leave with pain, on that sigh of pain, Allah will bring such calamities that wallah, no dua and no namaz will undo the pain of those people. When this ayat was revealed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not eat the rights of anyone unlawfully. Now look at the level of taqwa in sahaba. The level of the awareness of Allah amongst the sahaba. There are few narrations to this, few shani nuzul to this ayat. Some were blind, some were physically disabled, some crippled. So many times they used to sit together and eat. When this ayat was revealed, each person exercising the highest level of taqwa, the blind sahabi said, I'm no more going to eat with my brother. I am blind. Perhaps I will eat more than my allotted share. The other sahabi who had eyes and sight said, my brother cannot see. He'll eat little. I will eat more. I'm not going to eat with him. Allah is observing this intricate precautions. The sahabi that was crippled said, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ. The sahabi that was crippled said, when I sit, I will occupy the place of two people, which is incorrect and lawful. So I will eat alone, I will not eat with my brother, this is not my share. The sahabi that was not crippled said, my brother is crippled, he will arrive late, half the food will be eaten. Allah revealed Quran. Allah said there is no need to maintain such fine and intricate taqwa. Allah has pardoned you. Eat together. Allah overlooks such small, shortcomings on your part. Another explanation to this ayat, whenever the sahaba used to go out in the path of Allah, they used to leave their key with those sahaba who were sick, disabled, to take, care of the house. So one sahabi went out in the path of Allah and he left his house keys with a sahabi by the name of Harith bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. When he returned, he found that this sahabi was gone weak and thin and sick. So he asked him, I left you with my house, my food, my conveyance. What has happened to you in my absence that you became so sick? He says, no, I did not feel comfortable. I didn't know if I had your permission in using any item in your house. Allah reveals the verse that you don't have to maintain such form of taqwa. Allah has made it love, but understand what was the level of taqwa in the ummah. In fact, it can be clearly and safely said without fear of contradiction that when we study and analyze the pagan Arabs prior to the advent of Islam, even in the era of darkness and deviation, there were certain outstanding qualities which Allah's Qasam, they excelled in more than the believers of today. One was, which we commonly generally know, is hospitality. The Arab man was known for his hospitality. The second quality being honesty. The incident of Abu Sufyan in Bukhari Sharif, first volume, is well known about this. And the third quality that was outstanding in the kafir, in the era and in the time of darkness, was the importance of settling his debts. To substantiate this, the hadith of Umair bin Wahab and Safwan bin Umayyah would be opportune to mention. After the battle of Badr, where Abu Jahl died, Safwan bin Umayyah and Umair bin Wahab sitting in the Haram Sharif. So Safwan bin Umayyah made a comment and he said, Wallahi ma fil aishi ba'dahum khair. Wallah, since Abu Jahl died, there's no more pleasure living in this world. So Umair bin Wahab said, you have taken the words out of my tongue. I just have two obstacles, otherwise I would have assassinated this man. Wallahi lawla daynun alayya. والله لولا دين علي وعيال عندي أخشى عليهم الضيعة لركبت إلى محمد حتى أقتله. والله if it was not for my debts, if it was not for my debts and my wife and children, I would have gone and assassinated Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم now. But I'm worried about my debts. I cannot embark on any journey until I don't settle my debts. The fuqaha unanimously agree. There's a consensus of the scholars that person who has debts should not go for nafil umrah. How will it be then lawful for him to go on vacation after vacation and live in hotels and drive cars more exclusive than his creditor? The debtor is living in more luxury than the creditor. And absolutely no guilt, he will greet you. Brothers in Islam, there's no liquidation. There's no insolvency. You pay here or you pay in akhirat, but inevitably you pay. The choice is yours. Akhirat, the currency is amal. When we're going to an airport and we need a cool ring or we're flying out, we say, rather buy it at the airport, it's expensive. Why the same can of coke and have to pay three times? Wallah, pay it in cents or rands or dollars. In akhirat, your namaz will go as it is. We have weak namaz. Allah alone knows if it's accepted. But that will be the currency of akhirat, if you may understand. Inevitably, a man will pay either here or there. That is the principle of Allah. That is the promise of Allah. So this was the level of taqwa in Sahaba, and to this extent they were particular about not taking the rights of someone. In fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and many ahadith substantiate this, I'll just mention this incident first, Umair bin Wahab. He says, if it wasn't for my debts, I would have gone and assassinated this man now. So Safwan bin Umayyah told him, I will settle your debts. Because I know till your debts are not settled, you will not leave. So I will settle your debts. And I will take care of your wife and children, you go. After he was given the assurance that his debts would be settled, that is the time he left. And who knows, perhaps this was the quality then makes him fortunate that when he comes to Madinah Munawwara, Sayyidina Umar looks at him and he said, Wallahi ma ja'a illa li sharrin ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, this man has come with ulterior motives. He grabs him by his shirt and drops him before Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Da'hu ya Umar, leave him Umar. Udnu minni ya Umar, come close Umar. Ma ja'a bika ya Umar, what makes you come? O Nabi of Allah, I have come to set my son free because he's been captured as the Muslims. Nabi alayhi salam says, Ma balu saif, then why did you come with a sword? He says, no, I just carry a sword by the way, casually. Nabi alayhi salam says, no, no, Umar, come I tell you, yourself and Safwan were sitting in the haram in Makkah. And Safwan said, there's no more pleasure left after Abu Jahl died. So you agreed. Then you told him, if it wasn't for your debts and your wife, you would have assassinated me. So he gave you the undertaking, he'll settle your debts, and he will take care of your wife and children. He stood up and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bring iman on the oneness of Allah and the finality of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I put my trust and my reliance on that being that has informed you. This was a discussion that was exclusive. هذا أمر لم يحضره إلا أنا وصفوان. Some third being has informed you and I bring iman on that being. So even a kafir in his kufr, in his deviation, had understood the importance and the need of settling his debts. In the battle of Jamal, Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu calls his son. And he tells his son, إِنَّهُ لَا يُقْتَلْ الْيَوْمِ إِلَّا ظَالِمٌ أَوْ مَظْلُومٌ. Oh my son, today the battle will take place. وَإِنِّي سَأُرَانِي أُقْتَلْ الْيَوْمِ مَظْلُومٌ. Listen to this mature discussion and responsible son on the battlefield. The father has put on his armor and his kafan. He makes farewell to his family. He calls his most eldest son Zubair. And he tells him, Zubair, I'm going in the battle. I don't think I'm going to return. Today we think we have intellectual children who are perhaps chartered accountants so they can do our calculations better. We learn in the hadith that no child can compensate his father. There is one way out that comes in the hadith, that if a child finds his father as a slave,
If he buys the freedom of his father, purchases his father and sets his father free, then inshallah such a man has done justice to the obligation and he has fulfilled the rights of his father. In the same breath, to slightly expand on that hadith, we not saying that it is definite he will have the same virtue, but if any child and any person wants to be kind to his parent who is alive or is late, who has left behind debts, if this child can take a responsible role and earn and settle the debts of his father and make his father feel comfortable that whatever the amount is, oh my father, it is on me. Inshallah, in the light of this hadith, we hope Allah will also record this child as an obedient child who has done justice and has been loyal to the kindness of his parents. Those of us that Allah has given us wealth, and we have a similar situation, let us capitalize on such a virtue and take advantage of it and earn the du'as of our parents and the pleasure of Allah. Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu calls his son and he says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُقْتَلَ الْيَوْمِ إِلَّا ظَالِمٌ أَوْ مَظْلُومٌ وَإِنِّي سَأُرَانِي أُقْتَلَ الْيَوْمِ مَظْلُومٌ. Oh my son, I think today your father will be dying. This riwayat comes in Muslim Sharif. Listen to this hadith very attentively. وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ هَمِّي لَدَيْنِي. And my son, you know, the greatest worry I have is my debts. It's been worrying me. I'm going in the battlefield. I'm going to inshallah be martyred today. I'm leaving you in charge as the trustee of my estate and I have my debts. بِعْمَا لَنَا وَقْضِ دَيْنِي. My last words to you, father and son, final discussion on the plains, on the battlefield, recorded in Muslim Sharif. Father tells his son, oh my son, whatever valuable, whatever properties we have, sell it. And number one, after you finish with my ghusl and my kafan, settle my debts. وَأَوْصَى بِالثُّلُثِ. And then he makes his wasiyat bequest in one third. وَثُلُثِهِ لِبَنِيهِ. And one third of the third in which a person can express his own desire. He said, a third of that, after settling all of my debts, if anything remains, then a third must go to your children, that is my grandchildren. Hisham, who is the narrator of the hadith, says, وَكَانَ بَعْضِ وُلْدِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ قَدْ وَازَ بَعْضَ بَنِ الزُّبَيْرِ. Some of the Zubair radiallahu anhu's sons in age were the same of his grandsons. So he tells his son, I'm going to settle my debts. I don't know what it amounts to. And if there is anything remaining, a third of that must go to your children, that is my grandchildren. وَلَهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ تِسْعُ بَنِينَ تِسْعَةُ بَنِينَ وَتِسْعُ بَنَاتٍ. He leaves behind 9 sons, 9 daughters and 4 wives. Ready to move in the path of Allah. Such were the children of those days. So responsible they were. Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu says, Abdullah says, فَجَعَلَ يُوصِينِ بِالدَّيْنِ. I'm seeing my father for the last time and he's only stressing and harping upon the settling of debts. He's repeating it, reiterating it, please settle my debts, settle my debts, settle my debts. Today Allah forgive, a man is critically ill. He's been hospitalized in ICU. The chances of his death are more definite, but he doesn't mention of settling his debts. The man's death is definite. And if he mentions, he will mention those that owe him. Then my father tells me, إِنْ عَجَزْتَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ فَاسْتَعِنْ عَلَيْهِ بِمَوْلَايَ. Oh my son, settle my debts. And if in the process while settling my debts, you encounter any difficulty, just tell my master must help you out. Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, قَالَ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا دَرَيْتُ مَا أَرَادْ حَتَّى قُلْتُ يَا أَبَتِ وَمَنْ مَوْلَاكَ. I asked my father, Abba, repeat that, I must ask your master. I don't know who is your master. Who is your master? Tell me please, oh my father. So the father says, oh my son, Allah. Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا وَقَعْتُ فِي كُرْبَةٍ مِّن دَيْنِهِ إِلَّا قُلْتُ يَا مَوْلَى الزُّبَيْرِ اِقْضِ عَنْهُ دَيْنَهُ. Wallah, whenever I encountered any difficulty in settling the debts of my father, I lifted my hands and I said, oh, the Lord of Zubair, assist and aid Zubair. Instantly Allah would make arrangements and the debts were settled. And if I may add another hadith in Abu Dawud, one person came to Nabi alayhi salam, Ya Rasulullah,
ديون لزمتني وهموم هموم لزمتني وديون. ونبي الله, I have worries and I have overwhelming debts. I cannot sleep. نبي عليه السلام said, أفلا أعلمك كلاما إذا قلته أذهب الله همك وقضى عنك دينك. Should I not teach you a dua which if you commonly read, Allah will settle your debts and remove your problems? Please, O Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam said, قُلْ إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْهَمِّ وَالْحُزْنِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْعَجْزِ وَالْكَسْلِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْبُخْلِ وَالْجُبْنِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ غَلَبَةِ الدَّيْنِ وَقَهْرِ الرِّجَالِ. قَالَ فَفَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ فَأَذْهَبَ اللَّهُ هَمِّي وَقَضَى عَنِّي دَيْنِ. رواه أبو داود. Read this dua, memorize this dua. The Sahabi says, I read this dua, Allah settled all my debts and removed all my problems. Anyway, my father passed away. He left behind 9 sons, 9 daughters, and 4 wives. وَلَمْ يَدَعْ دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. But he hadn't left behind 1 dirham nor dinar. إِلَّا أَرْضَيْن. He left behind 2 plots, 2 pieces of land. مِنْهَا الْغَابَ. One was a land by the name of غَابَ. إِحْدَى عَشَرَةَ دَارًا بِالْمَدِينَةِ. 11 houses he owned in Medina. دارين بالبصرة, 2 houses in Basra. دارا بالكوفة, 1 house in Kufa. دارا بمصر, 1 house in Egypt. 11 houses in Medina, 2 houses in Basra, 1 house in Kufa, and 1 in Misr. This is what my father left behind. Then he elaborates, Wallahi ma wali jiyabatan qattu. My father was never a governor. My father had never had any post. Whatever he owned was the barakat of jihad which came to him in his share of striving in the path of Allah. Whatever he owned, be it the land, be it the homes, this was the barakat that came to him as his allotted share of the spoils of the war. And then, فَحَسَبْتُهُ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ. He says, my father passed away. I got involved in the burial and then I started doing the calculations. فَوَجَدْتُهُ أَلْفَيْ أَلْفٍ وَمِئَتَيْ أَلْفٍ. My father's debts amounted to 2,200,000 dirhams. The question then arises, Mawlana, why are you stressing that it is unlawful to take loans? Even Sahaba had taken loans. Yes, my brother, Sahaba had taken loans. Wallahi, if you have the intention of the intention with which Sahaba had taken, then you can take double the amount you are taking. He says, let me explain to you how my father had so many debts. The riwayat is in Muslim Sharif. A person would come to my father and would tell him that, oh Zubair, I am leaving this amanat with you, so much money. Would you keep it with me? Would you keep it with you? My father was so particular about the property of others that my father would decline. And my father would say, no, you are going to leave this by me as a trust, I will not accept it. If you leave it as an amanat and then tomorrow someone steals it or it is burnt without negligence on my part, then your property will be lost for which I am not answerable, and that is the Islamic ruling. Let's secure your wealth. The trust that you are putting, I will take it as a loan. So whether burn or stole, your money intact. Whether burn or stole, your money intact. He didn't go and knock the door of anyone. People trusted him. When they came to leave their money, he said, bhai, you leaving money with me, I got no problem. But if it's stolen and I am not negligent, your money is gone. A better way to secure your money is I take it as walakin huwa salafun. It's my debt. When I've taken it as a debt, now I have to pay. So this is how my father was indebted, and this is how it amounted to 2,200,000. Anyway, I decided I have to settle the debts of my father. فَلَقِيَ عَبْدَاللَّهِ إِبْنَ زُبَيْرِ حَكِيمُ بْنُ حِزَامٍ. Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu says, one day while walking after the demise of my father, I met Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu. And Hakim ibn Hizam asked me, يَبْنَ أَخِي كَمْ عَلَىٰ أَخِي مِنَ الدَّيْنِ. My nephew, tell me, your father passed away. If you don't mind me asking you a question, what was the outstanding debts of your father? I'm just curious to know. So Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu says, Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, فَكَتَمْتُهُ فَقُلْتُ مِئَةُ أَلْفٍ. I thought in my heart, my father told me I must only take help from his master, that is Allah, and I mustn't take help from anyone else. So I did not want to reveal the exact figure so that this man sympathizes on me and he comes and aids me. My father gave me strict instructions. I must settle his debts, and his debts must be solved between him and Allah. So I didn't tell the man the true amount. I said, my father is owing 100,000. Meanwhile, the amount was 2,200,000. When I said my father was owing 100,000, so Hakim ibn Hizam looked at me and he said, Ma ara amwalakum tasa'u hadhihi. Oh, Abdullah, I don't think your father's assets value 100,000. So he says, I smile and I told him, just for argument's sake, you are saying it doesn't value 100,000 and my father's debts are 100,000. If I tell you my father's debts are 2,200,000, what will you say then? Which was the true amount? He says, then by all the more I will say you won't able to pay. Says, anyway, Jazakallah, whatever it is, Jazakallah for your input. Hazrat Hakim ibn Hizam then says, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be curious in the matter of your father. The only reason I have asked, in ajaztum an shay'in minhu fasta'inu bi. If you have any difficulty, without mentioning, you can come to me, inshallah, I will settle the entire amount. This is the second aspect of my talk, which we will discuss. Those of us that Allah has given us wealth, indeed the constructing of masjid is an act of reward and it is meritorious. But my brother, if Allah has given you wealth, وَالَّذِينَ يَبْتَغُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ فَكَاتِبُوهُمْ إِنْ عَلِمْتُمْ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبْتَغُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ فَكَاتِبُوهُمْ إِنْ عَلِمْتُمْ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا وَآتُوهُمْ مِمَّا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. Allah says, those amongst you, addressing the master of that slave Mukatib, those amongst you whose slaves want to earn their freedom and they ask you, then agree to this and sign a deal that if they pay you so much, you will set them free. By this way, Islam encouraged freedom of slaves in lieu of an X amount. Now after this master, understand, after this master made an agreement with his slave, to which we are likening the debtor, after this master has made an agreement with the slave, that if you pay me 20,000, I will set you free. Now this slave has the debt of 20,000. Allah now intercedes on behalf of the slave to the entire Muslim public, the broader Muslim masses, and Allah says, وَآتُوهُم مِمَّا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. That, oh, the general Muslim, your brother is indebted, Allah has given you money, help and reduce the burden on your brother and pay him, Allah will help you on the day of Qiyamah. Allah has interceded on this man. Wallahi, if Allah has given us money, and there are those people, may Allah reward them abundantly. So many of us have the opportunity of saving so many people from interest, from banks. Allah has given us the money. Nabi alayhi salam says, he who will be lenient to his debtor and will grant him grace, in lieu of every day that he grants grace, he will be given the reward of sadaqah. Every day. So if you're giving grace for 1 week, 7 days of charity on your part, a month, 1 month of charity. Man andara mu'siran, he who will give grace to any person that has debts, or he will pardon it. Aballahu Allahu fi dhillihi, yawma la dhilla illa dhillu. Allah will give him shelter under his throne on that day where there'll be no shade other than the shade of Allah. He says, Hakim ibn Hizam was a very, very generous sahabi. In the time of Nabi alayhi salam, there were certain wealthy people. And perhaps we could ask those amongst us whom Allah has given wealth to. Nabi alayhi salam, they had such trust on Nabi alayhi salam, and their wealth was so available for deen, that whenever there was a genuine case, without consulting, Nabi alayhi salam could refer them. That go to so and so, and tell them he must give you so much. There were those sahabi who, as soon as a case was referred from Nabi alayhi salam, and the beauty of those sahabi was their wealth was so available, whatever amount was asked, they would add to it. Anytime, if it meant on one day 10 people coming referred by the Nabi of Allah, sanctioned by the Nabi of Allah, they would give that amount and increase to it. So those of us that Allah has given wealth, indeed this is but another avenue to come close to Allah. One person passed away. Huzaifa radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. Utiya Allahu ta'ala bi'abdin min ibadihi. He appeared before Allah. Allah asked him, what did you do in this world? وَلَا يَكْتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا. Knowing very well that no one can conceal from Allah. He says, oh Allah, أَتَيْتَنِي مَالَك. Oh my Allah, you gave me some of your wealth. فَكُنْتُ أُبَايِعُ النَّاسِ. I used to deal with people. وَكَانَ مِنْ خُلُقِي الْجَوَازِ. And part of my nature was
to be lenient to those that did not have money. At times I would forgive them, at times I would overlook, at times I used to give them grace. I did it solely for your pleasure. Allah Ta'ala answered and Allah said, أَنَا أَحَقُّ بِذَا مِنْكَ. That is my quality. If you are resembling me, so I'm going to exercise that quality on you. Just as you overlook the wealth of others, I have overlooked the wrong of yours, go Jannat is yours. Of course, it would be the irony for the debtor to walk out here with the virtue of giving grace. And for the creditor to walk out here with the stern warnings. It's like a beggar came to my door, and I'm telling him, "Boy, don't you know you mustn't beg?" And he tells me, "Don't you know when a beggar comes, you mustn't refuse?" So let us see what is the implication to me. I got to give him. Nabi alayhi salam says, وَإِن جَاءَ عَلَىٰ فَرَسٍ. Even if that beggar comes mounted on a horse, meaning with exclusive conveyance, he has come as a beggar, give him. If he is not justified in taking, he is taking Jahannam. But your duty is to give. Coming back to the incident, Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu, speaking of Hakim ibn Hizam, so there were those people among Sahaba who made themselves available. Oh my nephew, I'm not trying to inquire about the wealth of your father. All I'm saying, if you have any financial problem, let me know. And I will settle the entire amount. He says, no, Jazakallah, I appreciate it. Hakim ibn Hizam was a very wealthy Sahabi. In fact, even prior to the advent of Islam, he was wealthy. And he was very generous. Nabi alayhi salam told him, Aslamta ala ma aslafta min khayrin. It was all the good that you did as a kafir that endowed you with iman. It endowed you and favored you with iman. He started now assessing the value, the properties of his father. He came to that land, Ghaba. His father had purchased this land for 170,000 dirhams. He demarcated the land into different pieces and plots, and he valued that same land at 1,600,000. And he said, عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ عَلَى الزُّبَيْرِ شَيْءٌ فَلْيُوَافِنَا بِالْغَابَ. Listen, anybody my father owed money to, he must come and meet Zubair Abdullah at Ghaba, and inshallah we will settle his debts for him there. So, Abdullah bin Jafar radiallahu anhu came and he met Abdullah bin Zubair. He says, you know what, your late father owed me 400,000 dirhams. In shi'tum taraktuha lakum. But I have a desire to forgive it, man. I don't need that 400,000. So if you don't mind, I don't need the money. 400,000 dirhams. Today Allah forgive, a brother is asking his own brother for 4 rand. Brother asking his own brother. Making money out of blood. Your father owed me 400, but really I don't need it. So if you don't mind, I want to call it off and you can... Not bad debt says write it off. I'm saying you can cancel it, I don't need it. Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair says, no, my father's wasiyat was, I must settle his debts and I want to pay you. So then Abdullah bin Jafar says, okay, you want to pay me, no problem. Let's do this. In shi'tum, ja'altumuha fima tuakhiruna in akhartum. Make it like this, you pay me last. The last creditor to pay is me. So settle everybody else. I'm in no hurry, leave me for the last. He says, no, I want to settle you now. My father, his last words were, settle my debts. So no grace, no pardoning. Let's talk, 400,000. Either in cash or you want to take a piece of land. He says, all right, give me a piece of land. So he says, okay, from here. Now I will show you the barakat of his kindness. In the very same hadith, it elaborates that he was lenient, he was not demanding, although the hadith emphasizes that the creditor has the rights to be harsh. Nabi alayhi salam is setting the riwayat is in Bukhari. One person comes and he demands from Nabi alayhi salam what he borrowed. فَأَغْلَبَ لَهُ. He's harsh, he's abrupt. فَهَمَّ أَصْحَابُهُ. Sahaba got up. Said, how can you speak to Nabi alayhi salam like this? Nabi alayhi salam said, دَعُوهُ فَإِنَّ لِصَاحِبِ الْحَقِّ مَقَالًا. Leave this man, the man been owed money to, it's his rights. People are talking of democratic rights and this rights. These are the rights afforded to him by Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That the Nabi of Allah justified his sternness and his harshness. That the Nabi of Allah allowed the creditor to be harsh to him himself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, leave him. Let him speak, it's his rights. وَاشْتَرُوا لَهُ بَعِيرًا. And go and buy one camel now and give him his camel back. Sahaba went immediately. لَا نَجِدُ إِلَّا أَفْضَلْ مِنْ سِنِّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, we only find a camel better than the one you borrowed. What must we do? We can't find the same one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, give him one better. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَكُمْ أَحْسَنَكُمْ قَضَاءً. The best amongst you is he who pays and pays better than what he received. In fact, Jabir radiallahu anhu says, Nabi alayhi salam took a loan from me, فَقَضَانِي وَزَادَنِي. He paid me and he gave me extra. Now there's something important to understand here. We have been taught that when you take a loan from a person, you should pay him back and you should pay him extra. If the condition is made, it becomes interest. If the man demands it, it becomes interest. So the agreement is, I will pay you, I borrowed 50,000, I will pay you 50,000. It is not compulsory, and if that man demands it, it's interest. If he says, I want more, it's interest. But the command of the Nabi of Allah to you is, as the debtor, in your appreciation for the man borrowing you, without informing him, without it being official, on a note of kindness, at the time you pay him back as a token of appreciation. In fact, Abdullah ibn Rabi'a radiallahu anhu says, Istaqrada minni nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 40,000. Nabi alayhi salam came and borrowed 40,000 dirhams from me. So even the Nabi of Allah borrowed. And those of us that will borrow, Allah will give us the opportunity of borrowing our wealth to pious people. And those that will mise, like I always mention, the man that mises and does not open his dastarkhan to feed people, then we will find a situation that such people will mise that they even refuse to be hospitable to Musa and Khidr alayhi salam. فَأَبَوْا أَن يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا. And those that will open their doors to feed, Allah will bring pious people in the house. Those that will give their wealth, Allah will make their wealth go in the hands of pious people. Nabi alayhi salam took 40,000 dirham from me. When wealth came to him, faja'ahu malun. When he received from wealth, he came back to me and he gave it to me. Nabi alayhi salam gave me my money back and he praised me and he said, innama jaza'u salaf alhamdu wal ada. Indeed, the appreciation of a loan is to pay it back in full and to give extra also without a condition. As soon as it's made as a condition, it's interest. And then Nabi alayhi salam made dua for me. Barakallahu fi ahlik wa malik. Abdullah, may Allah give you barakat in your health and your wealth. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, this is the appreciation of a loan, that pay the man his money and make dua for him. This is the teachings. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu asked bin Wail, a kafir, was owing some money. So Khabbab radiallahu anhu went to him to ask him for his money. So he said, no, I won't pay you your money until you don't deny the oneness of Allah in the prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a kafir. So Khabbab radiallahu anhu says, that is impossible. You can die in front of me and stand up, still too I will not deny the oneness of Allah. So then this Ask bin Wail mocking him and tell him, oh, you believe in life after death. Okay, you know what, when I'm resurrected, then I'll have money, you must come and collect it from me in paradise. Mocking at him, laughing at him. Allah revealed the verse. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا أطلع الغيب أم اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا. He's making promises like this. Let him know, never mind having anything there. What he has, will take that also away from him. ونرثه ما يقول ويأتينا فردا. He will come alone, he'll have nothing, never mind collecting anything there. And that kafir, we must understand, because of disbelief, every kafir will enjoy, or rather will have to face the consequences of eternity in Jahannam. However, those kuffar who snatched the rights of people, who insulted, who hurt, who done evil, their punishment and penalty will be much more severe than the other kuffar. ثُمَّ لَنَنْزِعَنَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شِيعَةٍ أَيُّهُمْ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الرَّحْمَانِ عِتِيَّ. Nevertheless, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu tells Abdullah bin Jafar, okay, from here till there, that is your property. In lieu of the payment, are you happy? He says, I am happy. He took that, the debt has been settled. Then from there, Hazrat Abdullah went to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He asked Hazrat Muawiyah, kam quwimatil ghaba? Muawiyah radiallahu anhu asked him, that land your father left behind, ghaba, what is it valued at? So he said, kullu sahmin bi mi'ati alfin. We valued every plot at 100,000. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, how many pieces have you got left? He said, I have 4.5 left. Amr ibn Uthman was present there, Zubair ibn Munzir and Ibn Zam'a. Every one of them said, I'll take, قَدْ أَخَذْتُ سَهْمًا بِمِئَةِ أَلْفٍ. Amr ibn Uthman said, I will take one piece for 100,000. Munzir ibn Zubair said, I will take one piece for 100,000. And Ibn Zam'a said, I will take one piece for 100,000. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, how much left? He says, 1.5. How much you want? 150,000. I'll take it. Settle everything, the land sold. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, after purchasing that 1.5 plot for 150,000, he needed that other plot which Hazrat Abdullah bin Jafar had taken in lieu of his payment. So he told Abdullah bin Jafar, you took this year, if you want, you don't sell it to me. Abdullah bin Jafar said, no problem, I'll sell it to you for 600,000. He took it in lieu of 400,000. He was lenient, he was kind. He hardly took it with the dua of that man, and he sold that very same land. Instantly Allah gave him the barakah of 200,000. When there will be honesty, when there will be principles, then Allah will give barakah. In Bukhari there is a riwayat, one sahabi Nabi alayhi salam sent him with one dinar to purchase a sheep. So he went, he purchased two sheep, then he sold one sheep and he got a dinar back. So now he is coming to the Nabi of Allah, فَجَاءَ بِشَاتٍ وَدِينَارٍ. He has the sheep also and he has a dinar also. Nabi alayhi salam said, Subhanallah, I sent you with one dinar, you come in with a dinar and a sheep. Nabi alayhi salam got so happy and made dua for him. The sahaba said, Allah gave him so much barakat. Brothers, barakat will come. فَكَانَ لَوْ اِشْتَرَى تُرَابًا لَرَبِحَ فِيهِ. Wallah, if that sahabi even touched soil, he would have made barakat and he would have made profit out of sand also. He says, anyway, after he settled the debts, فَجَاءَ بَنُ الزُّبَيْرِ. All his brothers came and they said, اِقْسِمْ بَيْنَنَا مِيرَاتَنَا. Where's our father's money? Father died 4 years ago. So many years ago. Where's our father's money? So Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَقْسِمْ بَيْنَكُمْ حَتَّى أُنَادِي بِالْمَوْسَمْ أَرْبَعَ سِنِينَ أَلَا مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ عَلَى الزُّبَيْرِ شَيْءٌ فَلْيُوَافِنَا فَلْنَأْتِهِ. You are talking of your rights and your inheritance from your father. Allah's Qasam, I will not distribute a cent until in 4 successive Hajj seasons. I do not announce, because that is the time everybody will come into Mecca. There's an influx of people in Mecca. For 4 successive years, I will announce in Hajj season, is there anyone that my father owed money to? Please come and claim it. I want to settle it. If after 4 years nobody comes and claims, then you come and speak and I'll give you your father's money. Every year he announced. Why? Because my father, despite martyrdom, is in problems if his debts are not settled. Yet the man is coming with proof and you denying it. Here he is asking, please come, you don't need proof. Your word, I take it and I will settle your debts. For 4 years he announced. No person came. After 4 years, he called his brothers. And then he distributed their share. وَدَفَعَ الثُّلُثِ. And he gave one third of what his father told him to his grandchildren. Now listen, we think we have money, brothers. Through the barakat of jihad, 4 wives. فَأَصَابَ كُلُّ امْرَأَةٍ مِئَةُ أَلْفٍ وَأَلْفَيْ. Every woman's share was 1,200,000 dirhams. That's maybe the barakat of 4 wives. Every woman's share was 1,200,000 dirhams. And the woman, that is from one eighth of the estate. So then the question is, Mana, what was the entire estate? The riwayat of Muslim Sharif, I quote, فَجَمِيعُ مَالِهِ خَمْسُونَ أَلْفَ أَلْفٍ وَمِئَتَيْ أَلْفٍ. He left behind an estate valued at 50,200,000 dirhams. Brothers, in the initial stages when a janazah was brought, the first question Nabi alayhi salam asked, has he left behind debts? Yes. Is there enough money to settle it? No. Sallu ala sahibikum. Do me a favor. One of you perform the janazah of your companion. I do not want to perform the janazah of that man who died leaving debts not settled. There were too many incidents like this. Of course, then the kind nature of Nabi alayhi salam, and that which makes the conclusion of my talk. فَلَمَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْفُتُوحِ. When Allah opened the doors of wealth, prosperity, Nabi alayhi salam stood up, khatiban, and he said, oh people, listen, whenever a janazah was brought, the question remains the same, his debts have to be settled. When I didn't have money, I didn't want to take and perform his namaz. I handed him over to you. Now that Allah Ta'ala has opened up the doors of wealth and prosperity, أَنَا أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ مَنْ تَرَكَ مَالًا فَلِأَهْلِهِ وَمَنْ تَرَكَ دَيْنًا أَوْ ضِيَاعًا فَعَلَيَّ. If any of my ummati dies now, Allahu Akbar, may Allah give hidayah to the wealthy category of this ummah who have the opportunity of reviving on this sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam says, if any of my ummati dies now, leaving behind wealth, leaving behind an empire, despite being his Nabi, I don't want to claim a cent from his money. However, if any ummati dies behind leaving debts and leaving children, then tell him his Nabi will settle his debts and his Nabi will father his children. And this was the same message he passed on to his Sahaba. The riwayat is in Bukhari. Qatada radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. We were sitting with Nabi alayhi salam. Idh udhiya bi janazatin. A janaza was brought. First question, hal alayhi daynun? Is there any debts on this deceased? No. Nabi alayhi salam went forward, performed salah. Idh udhiya bi janazatin ukhra, second janaza brought. Any debts left on this man? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. Has he left behind anything? Yes, 3 dinars. His debts amounted to 3 dinars. It was considered a debt. 3 dinars. His debts were 3 dinars and he left behind 3 dinars. Nabi Sassam performed his janazah. Third sahabi was brought. Has he left behind any debts? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. Has he left, hal taraka min wafa'in? Has he left behind money to settle the debts? No, O Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam said, okay, then you perform his janazah. Hazrat Abu Qatada said, I stood there and I said, Allah has given me wealth. Am I going to deprive my companion from the Nabi of Allah making dua? I said, alayya daynuhu ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, go forward, I'll settle his debts. Go forward, I'll settle it. Fataqaddam, who is there in the ummah to come forward and to shelter that poor pauper who died, who was living hand to mouth, who barely earned little to have shelter over him, to buy a car and in quiet and settle him. The next hadith that follows, another hadith of this nature, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, a janazah was brought. Nabi alayhi salam asked, has he got any debts behind? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. Has he left behind money? No, O Nabi of Allah. Ali, then you take care of his janazah. Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ya Allah, it came in my heart. How can I deprive this man of the janazah? Understand how grave the situation is. That Nabi who came as the most kind person, even he did not want to perform the janazah of people in his ummah. Indeed, the crime must be severe for such a caring, loving, compassionate Nabi not to perform janazah. Janazah namaz was such a great thing that there was one woman who passed away who used to come and clean. She was an Abyssinian woman who used to clean the masjid. She passed away one night. The next morning, Sahaba thought that, you know, she was a woman, nobody really knew her. So why must we disturb Nabi alayhi salam? They attended to her ghusl and her kafan and they buried her. The next, after a few days, Nabi Sassam seen that woman was no longer cleaning the masjid. Nabi Sassam said, where is that woman that used to come and clean? Sahaba said, no, Nabi of Allah, she passed away. And we thought that, you know, she's not a person of such importance. And you were sleeping, we didn't feel it advisable to disturb your sleep. Nabi Sassam said, no, you must wake me up. Don't you know these graves are full of darkness? With my namaz, Allah brightens them. Don't you know these graves are full of darkness? With my namaz, Allah brightens them. And here the Nabi of Allah says, despite that I'm not reading the namaz, you read it. My brother, your hajj, your umrah, I repeat, because this is the situation, the predicament, the plight in which we find ourselves. They are camouflaging the situation, feeling that the matter is solved. The matter is critical. The janazah was brought. The Nabi of Allah asked, is there anyone to perform his janazah? Is there any debts? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. Has he settled the debts? No, O Nabi of Allah. Has he got money? No, O Nabi of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ali, take the janazah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, no, Nabi of Allah, I promise, I will, inshallah, I'll make arrangements. Whether I have the money or not, I will investigate. And it's my word, I will settle his debts. But go forward and perform his salah. Nabi alayhi salam said, فَكَّلَّهُ رِهَانَكَ مِنَ النَّارِ كَمَا فَكَكْتَ رِهَانَ أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ لَيْسَ مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ يَقْضِي عَنْ أَخِيهِ دَيْنَهُ إِلَّا فَكَّلَّهُ رِهَانَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Rawahu fi sharh as-sunnah. Oh Ali, my dua is, may Allah save your neck also from Jahannam as you have saved the soul of your brother from Jahannam. And Ali, this is not exclusive to you. In the years to come till Qiyamah, any ummati defending the soul of any ummati settling the debt of any ummati, my word is with him. He settles his debt, I will hold him and put him in Jannat. So brothers, let us strike a balance. Those of us that Allah has given us, this is an opportunity. And those of us that are owing, I think that is the topic, and that is the message of the entire thing. Those of us that are owing, brothers. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu had borrowed a lot of money. His creditors came to Nabi alayhi salam and said, O Nabi of Allah, Mu'adh is owing us so much money. Nabi alayhi salam called Mu'adh, and Nabi alayhi salam sold everything that he owned. The riwayat of Mishkat Sharif says, Hatta qama mu'azun bi ghayri shay'in. Nabi alayhi salam sold practically every item he owned. That Mu'az stood up in such a way that he didn't even own the clothes on his body. Then Nabi alayhi salam says, still do you owe them. However, now I am asking you, be lenient with Mu'az. The Sahaba say, if the creditors had to give recognition to anybody and give them grace, it would have been Mu'az, because the Nabi of Allah interceded on behalf of Mu'az. But the intercession came after Mu'az had sold every item. Brothers, drop your standards. Rent a house and rent a car or do without it. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. Abu Huraira is the narrator of the hadith. Much time has gone, we'll end now. بادروا بالأعمال سبعة هل تنتظرون إلا فقرا منسيا أو غنا متغيا أو هرما مفندا أو موتا مجهدا أو الدجال فشر غائب ينتظر أو الساعة فالساعة أدعى وأمر. نبي عليه السلام exhorts us, and this is, I end with this hadith. نبي عليه السلام exhorts us, every one of us says that inshallah I'll pay, inshallah I'll change. The Nabi of Allah says in this hadith, make that moment and that day and that venue where you pledge to pay every man, this day, this moment, this venue. Why? Because the chances are seven situations can come and cripple you in such a way that you will die with the desire but you will never accomplish it. Nabi alayhi salam says, are you waiting that Allah must bring such poverty your way? Brothers, we've seen it with our own eyes. People who own empires, such poverty came their way that they didn't have food to put on the dastarkhan. Now that Allah has given us, spend it in the path of Allah and give it to those that we are in. Give them their share. Who knows, we're hoping the day we'll make more money. We don't know what the future promises. Things could be going down. And in no way are we insolvent in the eyes of Allah. Perhaps we will not pay every man, but at least we will die on the path of pain. Perhaps the penalty will be lenient by Allah. At least we endeavored, we tried, we attempted. Or the Nabi of Allah saying, are you waiting for wealth which makes you rebel? It doesn't mean the day we have wealth we will pay. Many people were owing, the day wealth came, they stopped giving zakat, never mind paying their creditors. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. A person by the name of Ta'laba came to Nabi alayhi salam, oh Nabi of Allah, make dua, Allah must give me money. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what you got is enough. He insisted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ta'laba, look at me, I am poor, you don't find an example in me. O Nabi of Allah, please. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua. Allah gave him so much wealth, he had to start staying outside Medina. When the people came to receive zakat, he said, zakat looks like a penalty, go from here, I don't have zakat. The Quran says at that time when he denied, فَعَقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, hypocrisy penetrated into his heart. His relatives, you know, insulted him that, how can you refuse to pay zakat? He came to Nabi alayhi salam and says, yes, zakat. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ta'laba, it's too late. Allah has now prohibited me from touching your money. Abu Bakr became the Amir. He brought the money. Yes, the money. Abu Bakr said, how can I look or touch that money which the Nabi of Allah refused? Umar radiallahu anhu took the reins of the Islamic empire. He brought the wealth before Umar. The point I'm stressing, start paying now. Brothers, drop our standards. If Allah has given us, by all means. But because he's driving a Z3 and he's driving a C-Class, we have to pull out a Mercedes. What will be the consequences? Those are wheels of Jahannam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we heed these warnings and we take this into cognizance and take realization of this. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of practicing and implementing these advices of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both to the debtor and the creditor. Recite Durood Sharif. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله على نيته وسره. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم لك الحمد كالذي نقول ولك الحمد خيرا مما نقول. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من البخل والجبن ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اجعل أولادنا برا تقيا وأنبتهم في الإسلام نباتا حسنا.
اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.